Let us pray with the Christ who is within us and among us. Amen. It is a joy to be with you on Pentecost, and thank you to the many, many followers of Jesus who worked on this liturgy. If I named all of you, my sermon time would be all used up. Just a special shout out to our communications director, Vicky Hicks, Rich Simpson and the deans, Tanya Wallace for the beautiful worship bulletin, Bruce Foss and Graham McCullough of All Saints Worcester for conducting and creating our virtual choir, and Eric and Kelly Karras, who are right behind that camera. And thank you for the dozens and dozens who gave time and talent so we might all come together in prayer. As we gather this morning on YouTube and Facebook Live, I'm aware of our loved ones who do not have computers or can't navigate these platforms. I invite you to give them a phone call this afternoon and wish them a happy and holy Pentecost. Say a prayer with them. Maybe put the phone up to your computer and play some of today's hymns. In this time of physical distancing, let's not be socially and spiritually distant. I've heard it said, we always underestimate how resilient we are, and we underestimate how much trauma we will go through in life. Again, we underestimate how resilient we are and how much trauma we will go through in life. As always, we look to Jesus and his followers to find deeper wisdom, the wisdom of the soul about this truth. Good Friday, Jesus is executed. He goes to his death on the cross. Luke tells us that at the end, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," and breathed his last. More about breath later. Then comes a time of hopelessness and fear for the disciples. Remember the statement by the disciples on the Emmaus Road. We had hoped he would be the Messiah. Hope in the past tense. Hope that is gone. In John's Gospel, the disciples stay in a locked room out of fear. Into that despair and fear comes the risen Jesus. The power of death cannot hold him. The world is forever changed. Love is stronger than death. That does not mean there won't be more trauma. Paul tells us in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans. According to Paul, there's going to be hardship and persecution and famine. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, not even the rulers, nor pandemics, nor closed church buildings, nor unemployment, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The truest thing, the most important thing, has already happened. Love was stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. Love will be stronger than death. Luke's gospel does not end with the resurrection of Jesus or with the stories of his presence among them for 40 days. The story continues with the ascension and Jesus telling the disciples to once again stay where they are. Stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And they do, for 10 more days. But this time, they shelter in place not out of fear and out of hopelessness, but with faith. Luke tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. And there, they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. They zoomed in for morning prayer and noonday prayer in Copland. They got the live stream from the National Cathedral on Sunday morning. They called friends and family members and parishioners to check up on them. They figured out ways to get food safely to the hungry and financial resources to the unemployed and to communities in need. And then on Pentecost, when the disciples were sheltered in place, suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. Now we are sheltering in place. Today and maybe for a while longer. And maybe we will have to shelter again if the virus comes back in the fall. We do that and we wear masks outside so we don't breathe germs on others. We do that out of love of neighbor. But while we guard our own breath, could we take in the life-giving, liberating breath of God? Because that's what happened on Pentecost. No one describes it better than the preacher Barbara Brown Taylor. She says, the disciples, according to Luke, were wondering what they were going to do without Jesus when they heard a holy hurricane headed their way. Before any of them could defend themselves, that mighty wind had blown through the entire house, striking sparks that burst into flames above their heads, and they were filled up with it. Every one of them was filled to the gills with God's own breath. And then something clamped down on them, and the air came out of them in languages that they did not even know they knew. Anxious people became bold. Scared people became gutsy. And lost people found a sure sense of direction. Disciples who had not believed themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus discovered abilities within themselves they never knew they had. When they opened their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus. In short order, they were doing things they'd never seen anyone but him do. And there was no explanation for it, except they had dared to inhale on the day of Pentecost. They had sucked in God's own breath, and they had been transformed by it. Friends, Pentecost was not a one-time event 2,000 years ago. Pentecost is still happening. Even while we guard our own breath to protect others, that mighty wind of God's breath is still here for us. It is a breath that will enliven us and invite us to address all those social needs that we failed to address before the pandemic. And now they've been laid out in bright light before us. Before our service began, we heard the choir from Atonement sing, "Breathe on me, breath of God." We dare to sing that in the midst of this pandemic, this trauma, and be reminded once again that we are more resilient than we think we are. We believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the ultimate and forever witness of the resilience of love. And as a society, we are capable of more than we think we are. The Holy Spirit is here, now and always. Let's end with a breathing exercise. Wherever you are, settle into your chair. Sit still and peacefully. On the count of three, we will all take a deep breath in safety together. Ready? One, two, three. Take a deep breath in and breathe out. The word conspiracy means to breathe together. We just did that. So welcome to the great conspiracy of the Jesus movement that's out to change the world from the nightmare it is for so many into the dream God has for it. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.